Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. This is the 443rd day of captivity for the American hostages in Iran, and barring still another hitch, apparently it's the last day. The hostages are now at Tehran Airport, and one report said they were expected to leave 1 hour ago. However, that hasn't happened, and we have another report that they're not expected to depart for another 2 hours. In any case, though, the United States and Iran this morning signed an agreement for their release. It was done first by Iranian officials in Tehran, then by Deputy Secretary of State Warren Christopher in Algiers. Doug Sager has the story there.
I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of President Carter and all the people of
the signing ceremony was a low-key end to months of negotiations, 12 days most recently here in Algiers. And as Foreign Minister Ben Yehia said, no sleep for the past 48 hours for Warren Christopher. Later, an Algerian interpreter read out the complex legal documents Christopher initialed and signed on behalf of President Carter. Algeria will certify the safe release of the hostages and guarantee the transfer of Iranian assets. In the lengthy detailed clauses read out, there was one giving both the United States and Iran 72 hours to change their minds. Doug Sager for CBS News, Algiers.
There was hectic activity before dawn at the White House, as we hear from Jim McManus.
In Algiers, Deputy Secretary of State Warren Christopher signed the basic agreement to free the hostages at 3:35 this morning, Eastern Time. And when word reached the White House, we're told the cliffhanging finale of this long ordeal was celebrated with champagne toasts. But shortly before 5 a.m., President Carter showed no public jubilation when he told reporters in the press room that implementing documents were still to be signed, and that he could not say how swiftly that process would go forward. Meanwhile, contingency plans are underway that will permit the president and other officials to fly to Wiesbaden, Germany, to greet the hostages later today. Mrs. Carter would not make the trip. Reportedly, the president would not begin the trip until the hostages are released and airborne headed for Europe. And no one here will discuss details of the agreement with Iran for fear a misinterpretation might cause a last-second hitch. The president and his aides are being that careful as they await word the American hostages are free at last. Jim McManus, CBS News, the White House.
Urgent preparations to greet the hostages in West Germany have been underway at the State Department, and Richard Roth has details.
Once the hostages are out of Iran, a special 35-member State Department team, including physicians and press spokesmen, will start traveling from here to Wiesbaden, West Germany. There, over a 3 to 5 day period, the hostages will be examined, debriefed, and given guidance on readjusting to freedom, including guidance on what they should or should not say publicly. What a State Department medical officer describes as a planned therapeutic regime for the hostages will include about 5 hours of videotapes of news events, a condensed history of the past 14 months. Hostage families are being discouraged from making the trip to Germany. The State Department has said it would make arrangements for family members to spend time alone with their relatives soon after a short period of decompression without family. Secretary of State Muskie will not be traveling to West Germany, though this morning, according to aides, he began what was called a kind of chain letter by telephone, calling several members of hostage families and several members of Congress to begin passing on the news of what was happening. Richard Roth, CBS News, the State Department.
We'll have more about the imminent release of the hostages in just a moment.
We work hard for our money. How can we make every dollar count?
Protect your new car dollar by investing in the 1981 Datsun 210 SL hatchback.
Drive a Datsun.
EPA estimates with 5-speed are 31 mpg, 44 highway. Use the 31 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less.
Drive a Datsun.
Okay, the 210 uses less gas, but is it less car?
Outstanding gas mileage is only one big bonus. A sky roof is available. And you get reclining bucket seats, split fold-down rear seats, a 5-speed stick, and a solid steel unibody, all riding on radial tires.
But will it drive us to the poorhouse?
The new Datsun 210 is a lot of car, not a lot of money. See the 1981 Datsun 210 SL today, a wise investment.
Dan Revive at our London monitoring post has been keeping close track of the headlong rush of today's developments pointing toward release of the American hostages. And here is Revive's report.
Two Algerian airliners were expected to take off at most any time to bring the hostages home. One report said all 52 Americans would be aboard one plane, while the other would carry baggage and the Algerian diplomats who acted as go-betweens in the negotiations. The hostages were taken to Tehran's Mehrabad Airport after six Algerian doctors examined them and reportedly found them to be in good health. One eyewitness at the airport said that before takeoff, the two Algerian planes were surrounded by about 100 policemen and armed Revolutionary Guards. Iran's chief negotiator, Behzad Nabavi, appeared on an unusual telephone call-in program on Tehran radio. Monitored here in London, Nabavi promised that Iran's fight against America will not end with the release of the hostages. He predicted that Washington will continue to conspire against Iran. And he denied the assertion made by one listener who called in that Iran was freeing the hostages out of weakness. In Nabavi's words, "We managed to rub in the dirt the nose of the world's biggest oppressor." Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
The controlled Iranian press is treating agreement on release of the hostages as a great victory for Iran. The headline in one newspaper this morning reads, "It's all over. The great Satan bows to all our conditions." This is a day of jubilation for families and friends of the hostages, assuming, of course, that the Americans are on the verge of freedom. Gary Shepard reports from Pasadena on the mood at the home of the family of hostage Gary Earl Lee. He was an administrative officer at the American Embassy in Tehran.
The atmosphere at the home of the Reverend Earl Lee and his wife Hazel was like New Year's Eve, except nobody knew when the signal would come to begin the celebration. Relatives gathered to keep the vigil, along with dozens of reporters and camera crews. Neighbors and friends sent food in. Then, finally, the announcement. And Hazel Lee said it brought her great joy.
It's like having a baby.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I am Gary's mother, and so this is sort of like a rebirth. And it's a beginning to get that feeling of relief.
Yeah.
When you've carried something for so long, that's how I'm feeling. It's still not quite complete. When they're out of Tehran, then there will be that, oh, it's over.
Yeah. Pastor Lee said he and his wife plan to fly to Washington to welcome their son when he comes home. Hazel says she hopes this crisis will set a precedent in reverse, that it will never be allowed to happen again. Gary Shepard, CBS News, Pasadena, California.
Mrs. Louisa Kennedy, spokeswoman for the Hostage Family Liaison Group, said in Washington this morning, "The agreement is signed, but the hostages have not yet been freed, and I don't lose my cool until that moment comes." During the long hours of uncertainty yesterday, Mrs. Kennedy said it was an agonizing day, a day of chills and thrills. The Soviet news agency TASS, in its first comment on the agreement to release the hostages, said today the United States was forced to negotiate with Iran for liberation of the Americans after Washington failed to save them with what TASS describes as provocative military action, blackmail, and pressure. A Pravda commentator named Demchenko asserts that Washington has turned the crisis into the sort of bargaining that serves as a typical example of imperialism's policy of the carrot and the stick, mixing, in Demchenko's words, alluring promises with crude threats. This is the last full day of the Carter administration. Ronald Reagan takes office tomorrow. Reed Collins reports.
Not since the British burned the Capitol in the War of 1812 has there been such turmoil. Limousines swirled through the streets, motorcades stopped traffic. While the Reagans attended three concerts last night, President Carter paced the Oval Office, waiting for word from Algiers. A time warp even Baryshnikov cannot leap. Yet it goes on today. More receptions capped by the Capitol Center gala this evening. Rolling toward the stroke of noon tomorrow, when Ronald Wilson Reagan repeats the 35 words spoken first by Washington in 1789. 150,000 are expected to view tomorrow's inaugural parade that follows the swearing-in. If there's a hitch in the plan, it's the fact that 500 animals, from sled dogs to Percherons, will precede the brass bands and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir down the parade route. An old problem for a new beginning. Reed Collins, CBS News, Washington.
The government's loan guarantee board this morning unanimously approved $400 million in new federal loan guarantees to Chrysler Corporation. The move is intended to help the number three automaker avert bankruptcy. Congress now has 15 days to consider the board's action. If there's no objection, the board can formally release the guarantees on February 2nd. The dollar weakened against most of the major foreign currencies today, presumably because of uncertainty over how the transfer of Iranian assets will affect the world money markets. And there's a belief in some of the European markets that the dollar could decline still further. Gold also is down. The price was fixed in London this morning at $558.75 an ounce, off $6.50 from late Friday. Gold also declined today in Zurich and earlier in Hong Kong.
A slight snag has developed due to the fact that the Bank Merghazi, or the Central Bank of Iran, has not yet filed the technical papers to open its escrow account with the Bank of England. Until those papers are filed, and this is a technical procedure, the deal cannot be closed because the filing of those papers triggers a series of financial transactions. Those transactions will take approximately 3 hours to finish. Once they're finished, the hostages are supposed to be released and be airborne. Well, if it happened right now, that would mean that the 3 hours would take till afternoon, and President Carter had figured he was going to have to depart Washington for Wiesbaden about noon or shortly thereafter. So the window is closing on the president's possibility of getting to Wiesbaden and then back again after seeing the hostages there, back again to Washington for the inauguration. That means the president may have to cancel his trip to Wiesbaden. None of this is absolutely certain, and that snag is only a technical one, I want to emphasize. Back to you, Rob.
Bob, then there is no feeling that this snag is going to prevent the ultimate release of the hostages.
None whatever. This is a technical problem. The filing of papers, it can delay the process, and what it may do is delay the president's trip to Wiesbaden, but it is not expected that it will prevent in any way the hostages from being freed.